Welcome and thank you for joining us today on our call. My name is Steve Young with UBS Financial Services. I run a team out of Indianapolis, Indiana that focuses exclusively working with owners of closely held companies. We provide wealth management solutions and advice in order to help them make wise and informed decisions about their business and their finance. A large part of our practice involves pre-transaction planning as well as post-liquidity wealth management. As we continue to work with our entrepreneurs, we want to provide them with the access to the most relevant, timely, and impactful information we can in order to help them make decisions about their future. Today, we're fortunate to be joined by my colleague, James Jack. He will be joining us for a conversation and discussion about the Payroll Protection Act, otherwise known as the PPP. James is the head of our UBS Business Owners Client segment, where he is responsible for the development of resources, products, and intellectual capital that allows us in the field to service our business clients very, very well. Over the last few months, James has led the UBS effort to provide resources and guidance on various corona-related programs, mostly involving the Payroll Protection Program, which is what we're going to be talking about here today. So James, welcome. Before we get started, can you please give our listeners just a brief background on yourself and how the business owner segment has come to be at UBS?
Well, hi, Steve. Thank you for having me. Absolutely. I'd be appreciated to doing that. So like you mentioned on my little introduction there, I head up UBS Wealth Management's business owners client segment in the Americas. Basically, my focus is to provide resources to help advisors like you and others to support business owners, particularly like you mentioned with pre-transaction planning. I think there's a lot of, when I started this role, I think there's a lot of people who were going to go through the process of potentially exiting their business or selling their business, monetizing their business, whatever the word you want to use. And then after the fact, maybe they wish something went a little differently. Maybe they have a bunch of money, but something is missing, or they had a great transaction, but they didn't do the proper estate and tax planning, and so they ended up paying more in taxes than they could have. Or they just have a longing, an emotional longing that they're missing. They really liked being in the game. So there's a lot of different things, and it's fairly common with business owners to have these feelings after the fact. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to help create better outcomes. So working with you and others to support business owners, we can start doing more of that planning in advance. That's where we started. When I started this group 3 years ago at UBS, I was a banker prior to that, doing a lot of lending and cash management solutions in our wealth management bank. But since then, purely focused on business owners, supporting advisors like you, and particularly this year, I'm sure is no surprise, business owners are in need of advice and guidance, I think more than ever. And they haven't been able to find it, I think, in areas where they might traditionally go, their traditional bank, who's going to do a business loan or a business credit card. On PPP, particularly, that program has evolved so much throughout the year, and we're going to get into this, but people need advice on it. There's a lot at stake. And so that's what we've been doing this year. And I'm really proud of what we've been able to help business owner clients with. And I'm looking forward very much so to the future when we start building off of kind of the advice that we've been providing.
Well, appreciate the background there, James. And obviously the big story for this year is COVID and the effect it's had virtually on every aspect of our lives. The government's done what they could, and in my opinion, they've taken great strides to try to soften the blow for business owners and their employees during the pandemic, although I know a lot are still kind of suffering through it and some are faring better than others. Obviously, we had the CARES Act, we had the PPP, I'm sure there's a couple other acronyms we could throw in there, but a lot has come out over a very, very short time. If you think about it, I mean, really, this is going back to like March of this year, and things just started coming out at business owners like a fire hose. And that being said, a lot has probably changed as well. So can you just give us a brief snapshot of where the PPP program actually is right now?
Yeah, where to begin? It's definitely changed a lot. You're right on the money there. I think where we started back in March was the government's goal was to create effectively a replacement, a stand-in for unemployment insurance. The goal was that if small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses, would keep their employees on and pay them using government funds, then that employee wouldn't be unemployed and wouldn't go on unemployment. And six in one, half a dozen the other, maybe, but there's, I think, a real belief that is once someone's on unemployment, it's very difficult to get them out and off of it and back into employment roles. And so the idea was, let's pay them via these business owners. And that way, when things are up and running in the summer, we're all good to go. And of course, what happened? The simple fact is we were not at all even remotely ready by the summer. It's now middle of November, and it's even worse now than it was back in March. The other thing is that it took too long for the actual program to kind of get going. All best intentions, but it's very complicated and convoluted. And so that caught, you know, a lot of business owners just couldn't wait anymore. And so they ended up putting people on unemployment anyway. So that's the background. I think that's important to know. Where are we now? We've got a lot of information, that's for sure. There's been a lot of changes. Even in the last few months, the program itself technically ended in terms of taking new applications back on August 8th. But since then, we've had even more rule changes. We'll talk a little bit about this, but about people who want to do a transaction, who have a PPP loan, if they want to sell the company. We've also had insights into certain sizes of loans can now get more streamlined approval. So if you have a loan that's $50,000 or less, as of about a month ago, the SBA came out with guidance that said, effectively, you can make some claims and fill out a single one-page forgiveness application and get your loan forgiven. So that could be quite positive for many business owners. It's like almost two-thirds of the loans are in this $50,000 or less. But on the other hand, we're seeing some retreading that's interesting for bigger loans. The SBA is contemplating asking questions about business owners' liquidity and performance after they got this loan, which the CARES Act itself really said you're supposed to be thinking about if you need this loan based on the uncertainty of the future. And so now we're kind of Monday morning quarterbacking potentially. They haven't finalized this plan for bigger loans, but it's on the horizon. There's something coming. And so the long and short of it is there's some things that seem like we're getting to an answer. There's other things that they're still evolving, which makes for a struggle. And then the third thing that I didn't talk about, and maybe we'll get into more, is the potential for another stimulus bill once Congress comes back in a few weeks or in January with the new administration. Will that simplify things? Will that add for a second bite at the apple for PPP or not at all? We'll have to see.
Awesome, James. Appreciate that. As you know, my team does a lot of pre-transaction planning where owners are anticipating to sell their company in order to basically fund their retirement. What are some of the concerns that owners should be thinking about when selling a business if they do have a PPP obligation on their balance sheet?
Yeah. So the SBA came out with some guidance a little bit more than a month ago that said if you're looking to sell or transfer ownership of at least 20% of stock or 50% of assets, you have to do some additional steps for those who've got a PPP loan. And I think there was a lot of expectation that something like this would come, but it was surprising. And the long and short of it, without getting too complicated, is if you hit that threshold, you either need to pay the PPP loan off in full before you do that transaction, or you need to seek approval from the SBA, and you may even potentially have to put the balance of the PPP loan amount into an escrow account until the forgiveness decision is made on that loan. What's the outcome of that is more steps, more bureaucracy, and potentially putting yourself up for Freedom of Information Act disclosures and things like that when you disclose it to the government, which many, I think, private market transactions may not want to deal with, especially if it's a private equity or a venture capital firm, because that also adds additional kind of requirements. So we're seeing that people who are looking to have a transaction are effectively either paying the loan off or seeking forgiveness as quickly as possible. And the forgiveness is now finally beginning to open up. Some banks are taking those applications. But from that point, once you submit your forgiveness application, it could be, I think, 60 days before the SBA has to make a decision. So building that into your timeline, if you're going through a transaction, if a deal is really important.
That's a great point to think about, and certainly need to figure that out if you are going through the process of selling your company, to factor those extra days in there. James, on August 20th, you published a white paper that talked about an equation for determining how much of the PPP business could qualify for. My first question regarding that is, has there been any changes to the way that calculation is computed? And secondly, for those that are listening, can you walk us through briefly the process of figuring that out?
It really hasn't changed that dramatically in the most recent months. There's still a requirement that you need to spend at least 60% of what you want forgiven on payroll. How it's determined is your forgiveness starts with what did you actually spend? So you've got payroll costs, rent, utilities, and mortgage interest. Those are the four things that you're allowed to spend on. Under a proposal for a potential future, they may expand those allowable costs to include purchase of PPE, capital improvements, like maybe you put in a drive-in window or something like that, plexiglass, some cloud computing costs, some operational expenses, some improvements that you may have made as a repairs rather that you may have made as a result of riots. Those are some things that are under proposal to be added, but right now, it's just the four that I mentioned originally. Effectively, you add all of that up. How much do you spend on those four categories during your covered period, which is either 8 or 24 weeks for folks? The first check is payroll at least 60%? If it isn't, then you're going to have to take whatever your payroll is that you did spend, divide that by 0.6, and that's your kind of your maximum that you can get forgiven. If payroll is at least 60% or more, then you've kind of passed that test, and that can be what you've gotten forgiven. And you take that amount and you multiply that by a FTE and salary reduction quotient, they call it, which is basically how many employees did you have before the pandemic as your denominator. And there's a bunch of rules on that, which I don't have really the time to get into, but take that as your denominator. And how many employees did you have during your covered period on average? And you do that math. So let's say you had 10 employees previously. Now you've got 8. 8 divided by 10, that's 80%. So whatever you spent on those allowable costs times 80% is how much would get forgiven. Similar math happens if you reduce wages by more than 25% for folks who made $100,000 or less. That's the equation, and it kind of gets complicated on how you calculate that. But the good news is there's a lot of exceptions to that. You may not have to do that math. For example, if you're less than $50,000, you can potentially avoid doing that if you've been required to shut down at least partially for COVID or for other reasons. You also get exceptions on your FTE reductions. In my example, you went from 10 to 8. Well, if you try to hire some of those people back, if you fired two of those people for cause, if you tried to hire someone but you couldn't find a replacement because of the pandemic, there's a whole bunch of reasons that you're given that can help restore your number. The last part, just to close on this, what may have changed? I think this is an interesting thing. It was kind of buried in a very recent interim final ruling or an IFR that they came out with last month, which said, what if my loan is only 2.5 months of payroll, right? If you could remember back. So approximately 10 weeks of payroll. So let's say my loan is $1 million for sake of simplicity. Well, they moved it to 24-week covered period. If 10 weeks was $1 million, so going from 10 to 24, I'm going to a little bit more than double that number. So my $1 million in theory of payroll is now almost $2.5 million, let's say. In theory, I can spend $2.5 million on payroll over 24 weeks, and that's well above my $1 million loan. And so how they interpret that is you can actually say I spent $2.5 million on payroll. Maybe I had 50% of my employees let go. So 2.5 million times 50% is 1.25 million. That's still more than my original $1 million loan. And I can get it all forgiven now, even though I let go of employees. That's something that was buried in their last IFR. And I think that's a real win for a lot of business owners, actually. Of course, work with your tax and legal advisors about all the specific rules of it, because really they only dedicated about one question of a long IFR to it, and they kind of haphazardly wrote it. But it's important is if you can say that you've spent more than what your original loan is on covered costs during your 24-week covered period, add it all up together and submit that. Don't just stop at the loan amount, because it seems as though that can help you get more forgiven.
All right, James, that's a pretty in-depth description of how to get through that process. I know a lot of the companies that we're working with are going to their CPAs and bankers for assistance in processing their forgiveness applications and trying to figure out exactly how much of their PPP can be forgiven. I would assume that that's probably the best course at this point as far as trying to navigate through all the ins and outs of that equation.
Yeah, definitely work with your lender. Ultimately, the lender is going to be the decider on a lot of things. So if you're very complicated in terms of things, tax and legal advisors are helpful. But ultimately, the lender is going to be the one who's going to make the decision that ultimately goes to the SBA.
Fantastic. I have another question, and it's related to something you said a few minutes ago about the potential for additional stimulus in the future. Do you have any insight as to what that might look like and when that might be coming down?
Well, it's a good question, and I honestly don't, because it's changed so much. I think the politics of where we are right now makes it hard to determine. But I can tell you, at least on the PPP, is there is strong bipartisan support on extending that and continuing it and reforming it. Where there is discord and disagreement is on all of the other spend. Ultimately, it's only a few hundred million that separates the two parties, which a few years ago, that's a huge amount, but on a $2.5 trillion plan, it's really not that big of a bridge, I think. But PPP does seem to have a lot of bipartisan support. It's been since June they've been talking about a lot of the reforms that I mentioned earlier. So I think it will happen. Whether it happens in the lame duck session or if it happens in January when there's a new Congress, I'm not so sure. But I think it will happen. It's just a matter of when and how quickly Congress can come to a conclusion on some of the other points. I think with the Republicans likely gaining seats in the House and potentially keeping the Senate, we'll see in January 5th or shortly thereafter from Georgia, I think there's a good chance that we come back to kind of maybe the proposal that the Republicans had back in September.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. James, as we wrap up this session today, I was going to ask just any departing thoughts or comments you want to leave our listeners before we sign off for the day?
Yeah, Steve, I think so. A few things is this is a critical time, right? There's a lot of stuff going on. We just talked about a few things on PPP, and we quickly went through some nuggets there that I think are not that well known. They're certainly not portrayed in a lot of the media. And that's what we try to bring to the table is we're really looking at into the various programs like PPP and others. And we've set up a website. It's our Business Resilience Center, which is at ubs.com/business-resilience, which has all of our articles and content related to PPP and others, including we have an article about forgiveness, about transferring your business or selling your business with PPP, and including even the changes to forgiveness for $50,000 or less and that formula I mentioned. A lot of content there. Most importantly, I'll give a shameless plug for you, is thinking about your business is critical to your family, your future, your legacy, yourself, your financial life. You really need to bring it in together all in one, I think. That's the power of, Steve, what you do. And so I would recommend our business owners who are listening that take advantage of the resources of UBS that we can bring into doing and looking at all of this information for you on your behalf. But then speaking with Steve and his team about how does it all apply for your financial plan? What does that mean for your goals? What does that mean for your next steps? Because ultimately, we're trying to help create a better outcome. And PPP is a stop on that journey, but it's much more about long term, I think. And so that would be my shameless plug for you.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. And James, thank you for taking the time to join us today. You've certainly given us a lot of information for our listeners and our business owners on the call today to consider as they contemplate where we are today and where they're headed in the future. As we conclude, I just want to remind everyone that your business is our business. Our team is here to help you create and grow your wealth throughout the entire life cycle of your company, from startup through operations and your eventual exit. And our process can help you define your long-term goals, evaluate your options, and to create a tailored plan that fits your personal needs. With that, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us, and I wish you all a good day.